freshman, rolling north on 95 with a sheriff right beside me, pistol pointed at my side. Oh, Lord. Such a disappointing ending for this man.
Feel your name on my lips, and I like the sound of your sweet gentle kiss, and the way that your fingers run through my hair, and how your scent lingers even when you're not there.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A hearing today in the hush money trial of Donald Trump. Prosecutors recommending a delay in sentencing after a jury convicted Trump of falsifying business records. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
Donald Trump was convicted by a jury of his peers of all 34 counts. And so the district attorney's office, as you'd expect, I think, does oppose this idea of tossing out that conviction just because Trump was elected. They are two separate things in the eyes of the prosecutors. However, they understand the reality here, and prosecutors do not oppose delaying the sentencing and every other matter associated with the criminal case until after Trump leaves the White House in 2029.
A judge will issue a decision later. Fire dangers in the Northeast continue with drought conditions. Rain later this week could help lower that threat. And California and the Pacific Northwest bracing for heavy rain and possible flooding. This is ABC News. While smoking rates have declined, lung cancer is still a leading cause of death. A new report from the American Lung Association suggests not enough Americans are getting lung cancer screenings.
Currently, 43% of lung cancer cases are not detected until they are at late stage, so early detection through scans can be key to improving outcomes. In the past years, lung cancer has remained the leading cause of cancer deaths, with 5-year survival rate at 28.4%. It's important to note that lung cancer can also affect those who have never smoked, so be sure to talk to your doctor if you've been exposed to secondhand smoke, asbestos, or other toxins, or if you have a family history.
ABC's Ariel Reshef. According to CDC data, less than 20% of people who meet the criteria for lung cancer screenings are up to date. Nike debuting its first almost entirely 3D printed sneaker. The Air Max 1000 launched with just 1,000 pairs available for pre-order. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Allen. Liberal judges on the Wisconsin Supreme Court seem skeptical of a challenge by state Senate Republicans over Elections Administrator Megan Wolf's continued employment. Justice Jill Karofsky says Republicans won a case that allows for Wolf to stay in place.
Six of the seven of us sat in this courtroom 2 years ago when your client insisted that Fred Prehn should be able to retain his position on the DNR board even though his six-year term had expired, and your client won.
The six-member Wisconsin Elections Commission declined sending a recommendation for a new administrator a year and a half ago when Senate Republicans wanted to remove Wolf from the post. Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde has conceded his loss to Democrat Tammy Baldwin. In a statement posted to X on Monday, Hovde continued to question the integrity of election results from Milwaukee.
Without a detailed review of all the ballots and their legitimacy, which will be difficult to obtain in the courts, a request for a recount would serve no purpose because you will just be recounting the same ballots regardless of their integrity.
Hovde previously claimed to be shocked by Milwaukee's reporting of its absentee ballot results early Wednesday morning, although the city's central count location has routinely announced absentee ballots all at once. Clerks around Wisconsin are prohibited from processing absentee ballots until Election Day. A New Berlin man reported missing last week was found dead in the Chicago area. Ben Oberto's wife last heard from him Wednesday night when he told her he'd be home after a work trip in northeast Illinois. Friday afternoon, Illinois State Police located Oberto's overturned vehicle along an interstate near O'Hare International Airport. Oberto, who died at the scene, leaves behind his wife and two kids. The crash is under investigation. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy skies and blustery today. Wind gusts as high as 35 miles per hour. Early afternoon highs in the mid-50s with temps falling into the upper 40s by late afternoon. For tonight, still on the blustery side with clearing skies, lows in the lower 30s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 47.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Soon to be the leader of the Senate mean for agriculture. What are the ag-based priorities for the first 100 days of the Trump administration? We'll cover all of that ground and get the latest on the status of the carbon pipeline.
Live from your preferred ag infotainment pipeline via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with John Newton from Terrain. Then it's Lee Blank from Summit Carbon Solutions, and later Mary Kay Thatcher from Syngenta. Directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson, and now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chuck Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, my little weather app says it's 51 degrees and windy out there in
really?
Northeast Iowa. And I can confirm the windy part of that.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
It's 54 been windy and sunny for quite some time up here.
Yeah, yeah. It was windy as a bugger up here or down here yesterday. Yeah. It sort of moved on just a little bit. 54 degrees and sunny, but the neighbor's sort of little picket fence thing that borders our driveway, is actually laying in a prone position in our driveway this morning.
Oh,
got a little windy here overnight. Got a little windy.
That's extra work that just doesn't need to happen. You know?
I texted him, and the guy's like, oh, I'm already in bed. Do you think you? No, dude. I'm inside. Go pick up your fence.
All right. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. I'm glad that you are with us on this Tuesday morning. I'll explain this a little bit at the start of the next segment, too, but I was down in Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting last week, had a chance to talk with several people, many people, learned a ton. And a couple of the conversations that I had, we are going to feature on the show today. One is with John Newton. The other one is with Mary Kay Thatcher. And these are conversations that things are changing so quickly out there right now that there are some insights in and perspectives in these conversations that we need to get in front of you and put it out there for you guys to hear it and react to it, I guess. So we're going to do that. We're going to do that today. I'm looking forward to providing that information for you. And then Lee Blank, CEO of Summit Carbon Solutions, is going to be with us at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to the conversation with Mr. Blank. All right, let's get started, Davis.
Let's start with the National Weather Service near-term outlook. A potent storm system over the northern plains will produce gusty winds and locally heavy snow throughout the region before redeveloping area of low pressure brings unsettled weather to the Great Lakes, Central Appalachians, and Northeast. From midweek onward, heavy rain and flash flooding potential continues throughout portions of the central and eastern Gulf Coast today. Chip, it sounds like this little wind-slash-rain event is just making its way eastward across the nation here.
Boy, and they need it in the Northeast. It's number one. It's really, really dry up there. But they're dealing with some fires in the Northeast that Mother Nature could help out on. Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, oil prices surged over 3% yesterday as Norway's Johan Sverdrup oil field halted production due to a power outage, tightening North Sea supplies. Meanwhile, repairs at Kazakhstan's Tengiz oil field cut output by up to 30%, further supporting prices. And then, of course, the escalation of the Russia-Ukraine war also contributed to the rally in crude oil. U.S. Treasuries rallied amid speculation surrounding Donald Trump's potential Treasury Secretary pick of Kevin Warsh. Simultaneously, geopolitical tensions flared as Russia issued nuclear threats in response to U.S. weapons support for Ukraine, causing a safety bid in the markets. Chip, this situation is heating up fast.
Absolutely it is. We are not going quietly into the end of 2024. Let's put it that way. The geopolitical tensions, anxieties are on the rise in Russia, Ukraine, North Korea. It is a tense situation.
Well, Chip, a Kansas City Federal Reserve survey revealed that farm income in the Central Plains dropped during the third quarter of 2024, with 60% of surveyed ag bankers reporting lower income compared to the previous year. South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier raised his Brazilian soybean crop forecast by 1 million metric tons to 166 million metric tons. Cordonier maintains a neutral to higher bias, noting the only concern is dryness beginning to creep into far southern areas. Dr. C left his Brazilian corn crop peg at 125 million metric tons with a neutral bias. And Chip, most farm bill observers are wondering why Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow even bothered to release text of her long-awaited farm bill at this late date, especially after seeing its contents. Even optimistic House Ag Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson signaled it's time to focus on a 2018 farm bill extension by year's end. Senator John Bozeman described Stabenow's dead-before-arrival measure as, quote, insulting, Chip.
Yeah, well, we got that from Senator Grassley in the conversation that we had with him yesterday morning. It's not exactly sure why she is taking this tactic at the end of this of her tenure as a senator.
Well, House Republican tax writers are reaching out to biofuel supply chain stakeholders for input as existing tax credits near expiration with no replacement guidance yet from the Treasury Department. The focus is on the 45Z credit established in the 2022 tax and climate law. Chip?
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Karen.
Hey, Chip.
Okay. One of the priorities of the Trump administration is going to be immigration reform. How might this impact farm labor?
Well, the conversation itself is surrounding the mass deportation has sparked a lot of debate, and dairy included. So for dairy, I mean, this could dramatically reduce the United States ag labor force, what they're saying, by nearly 50%. And the big question is who's going to do all the work? And in the dairy industry, Chip, who's going to milk all the cows? So National Milk did a study back in 2015 that said that dairies that employ immigrant laborers produced a staggering nearly 80% of the U.S. milk supply. This comes from 2015. So my guess is that this is considerably more, you know, higher number. Let me point out that the current policies prevent dairy farmers from utilizing the H-2A farm worker program, which is only caters to seasonal labor. And so we have to have some type of agriculture labor reform. It's long overdue. The dairy farmers really need this to happen. And so when talking to National Milk, they're on board to help work with Congress to show the importance of foreign workers to the dairy industry and farm communities. So, Chip, it's a pertinent topic. There's going to be a lot of debate, and hopefully some type of reform can happen.
Yeah, Karen, there's talk about some workplace raids, I guess I would is what you would call them. Is that a topic of discussion in the circles that you're talking about this with?
Not really, no. I mean, you know, I think that the U.S. dairy farmers, we do the paperwork. I mean, I don't think that big... The big takeaway is that some type of labor reform is needed to stabilize a legal workforce.
Gotcha. Excellent. Karen, thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Karen is working on that story. You can check it out at www.dairyherd.com. Coming up next, conversation with John Newton, executive head of Terrain.
John Carter knows the value of his efforts to farm sustainably on his Indiana dairy.
Sustainability is really important to the consumer. As a farmer, it's important for us to produce a product that meets those standards.
That's why the Chekhov's work to do research and share results is so important.
If we weren't sustainable as a farm, we wouldn't be here. So the Chekhov is a bridge to tell the farmer's story on how they're practicing sustainability.
Learn more at dairychekhov.com.
We've been using Pivot Bio for 4 years. The first thing to drive us to Pivot Bio was the unique thought that there's something else out there outside of synthetic nitrogen that can replace it. And the data shows that we are able to replace that 40 pounds, sustain the same yield goals with 40 pounds less synthetic nitrogen. Anytime we can more efficiently use our nitrogen, that is more efficiently using our dollars.
Visit TalkNitrogen.com for your free nitrogen efficiency review. That's TalkNitrogen.com.
For dairy producers, the health and viability of their herd is just as important as the health and viability of their business. Interested in hearing more from producers on the upsides, the struggles, and what they expect in the future? Check out Clarity at Work, a podcast from Zoetis, featuring dairymen and women across the U.S. moving their herds into the future with genomic testing. Clarity at Work can be found anywhere you stream podcasts, as well as clarifiedplus.com.
Stop hoping for the best with your dry fertilizer. Apply Titan XC, a powerful biocatalyst that optimizes the breakdown of your dry fertilizer for increased nutrient availability and uptake. Power crop performance next season and maximize your yield, even with variable weather, prices, or soil types, with Titan XC. Visit cropfertility.com or contact your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant to learn more.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Hey there, Mondovi. This is Kendra Edwards. Great news for our community. Amplify Health by Gunderson is coming to town. Soon, you'll have top-notch family and children's medicine right at your doorstep. Whether it's a quick checkup or care for acute and chronic illnesses, we've got you covered. Stay tuned for the grand opening, and let's get ready to welcome Amplify Health to Mondovi.
To start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you're with us. We've got Davis Michelson as well. As I said at the top of the show, I was down at the National Association Farm Broadcasting meeting last week in Kansas City. They do a thing called Trade Talk, and it gives broadcasters an opportunity to talk with industry reps and learn more about products that are being offered. But we also get an opportunity to talk with some of the experts in the industry. We had a conversation down there with John Newton. He is the executive head of Terrain. And, of course, we talked about some of the policy issues around the transition to the Trump administration. With me down here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, we've been gathering a lot of information. I've been looking forward to this conversation with John Newton, executive head of Terrain. John, it's good to see you, man.
I'm happy to be here. Happy to see you.
All right. A little bit of a different tone at the trade talk this year. The financial conditions out in farm country have got everybody here a little bit on edge, I think.
Well, and your listeners know, I mean, they've been living this for 2 years now. Net farm income has fallen by 30% from 2 years ago. That's the biggest decline that we've seen in history. And people know that input costs aren't coming down anytime, at any rate that's fast enough. And USDA just announced in their long-run baseline expectations for lower crop prices. Right. Farmers know margins are tight, prices are below break-even, and this will be the second consecutive year in a row that they're dealing with that.
Yep. So we look at something like the Farm Act that's been proposed. Is that something that's probably going to happen before the end of the year?
Well, we've got 4.5 weeks left, and I can tell you, ag disaster for the farm families that, you know, at harvest had two hurricanes roll over them. People that have been dealing with drought, that's a priority. Can we get a 5-year farm bill over the finish line for rural America? On the Farm Act, and we had talked about this, last week, I think, you know, the ag committees have to get in the room. The appropriators have to get in the room. They have to figure out how much money they may have. And then they start to design and build something, some sort of economic relief package. But, you know, I think Senator Bozeman was on the floor during the last session, talked about the tight environment that farmers are in and the need to do something. What that looks like, I don't know, but I know that there are conversations in Washington, D.C. around that.
Yeah. It's a problem in need of dollar bills. And when you look at the Farm Act, they're talking about that thing costing $20 billion or $21. You look at GT's farm bill, and it's kind of overpriced from what the budget was. I mean, where do we find this money?
You know, for I'll start with Chairman Thompson and his farm bill. I think what he's looking at is CBO has not accurately projected the use of the Commodity Credit Corporation for years now. And in the May baseline or the June baseline, whichever one you look at, there's not a lot of CCC discretionary use in there. And Chairman Thompson went to Budget Committee and said, look, if CBO's wrong, who can fix them?
Right.
The only person that can fix CBO is the chairman or chairwoman of the Budget Committee, in this case, Chairman Arrington. That would be what's called directed scoring. Can GT do that? Would Senator Stabenow agree on some sort of directed scoring package to clear the logjam and get something done? I think that's how you would pay for it, but they also have to fix, you know, or agree upon sticky issues around nutrition and sticky issues around conservation. I think you figure those three things out, and this thing's ready to go. So the staff is there, the lawyers are there, the policy leads are there. You can get this done by the end of the year if you figure those things out.
Man, oh, man. And at the same time, we've got to address all the spending bills, don't we?
We absolutely have to do that. Yeah. So there's no shortage of things that have to And then we get into next year, and you've got to get the cabinet people put in place. You've got to get undersecretaries. You need to make sure that agriculture has an ambassador, a secretary of agriculture in that seat that can go into the Oval Office and talk about what's important for agriculture and rural America. You've got expiring Tax Cuts and Jobs Act provisions. It's going to be a busy period for ag. Executive orders. We haven't even talked about that.
Right.
January 21st, I anticipate a lot of executive orders.
Yeah. Okay. Does the farm economy, let's go back to where we started.
Sure.
What turns this around?
You know, I think when you look at what turned around last time, right, we were in a lull from 2017 through 2019. But look, Mexico's our number one market. Canada's our number two market. China's number three. A few years ago, China was buying $30 billion worth of agricultural products. Next year, they're projected to buy 24. We need those export markets for U.S. agriculture.
Yep.
You know, when you have a strong export market, you have a strong farm economy.
Yep.
And that goes back to that conversation, Chip. You need a Secretary of Ag that can be in the room and say to the president, these are important markets for agriculture. We need to think about how we execute here because the health of the rural economy depends on it. And after historic inflation that we've seen, not only on the farm, but in the overall economy, that's cumulative.
Yes.
We've wiped through people's piggy banks. Yep. So these are all real important issues that the president's going to have to address.
You know, I would love to see trade and demand be the tractor that pulls this farm economy forward. There's more than a few people that are concerned that under the new administration, it's going to be more conflict on the trade front than it is cooperation.
You know, I think we have to wait and see what that looks like. Again, get a Secretary of Ag that can be in the room and talk about it. And if you people go back and read the Phase One agreement with China, it wasn't just a 2-year purchase agreement.
Right.
It was supposed to continue. So do they get back in a room and say, hey, we agreed to this and you haven't lived up to it. You need to come back and buy some agricultural products. I know some will say that's managed trade, but that was the terms of the agreement that was made. Do you go back to the table and say, all right, USMCA is a few years old now. What's working? What's not working? So all of these things are related, but a strong export market for U.S. agriculture is a strong and healthy farm economy. And
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I absolutely
agree. We haven't talked about biofuels.
Well, okay, hit me on that real quick here, the 45Z.
Well, so the interesting thing that you don't hear a lot of from people is that 45Z was done through reconciliation. So a lot of people say, oh, we don't have the certainty we need for these investments because it's, was it 3 years? That's because of reconciliation. Reconciliation's a complicated topic, but basically what it means, and we're going to do this again two more times, 25 and 26, you can do anything that increases or decreases spending within a 10-year window. So 45Z or 40B, it has to have no impact on the budget 10 years after it was passed.
Okay.
That's why these things expire. So agriculture asking for more clarity, you can't do that in a reconciliation package. It has to expire. That's why the conservation funds and the IRA expire, because you can't have any budgetary effects that happen outside a 10-year window. And we talked a little bit about it. So if you come into reconciliation, you get that clarity on 45Z, which Republicans didn't have any input on that because it was done through the reconciliation process last. So they may want to have some input on that. Maybe they want to have hearings and make it look more like regular order, and then you could have a longer tail on what 45Z may look like.
So what does that mean about the legislation to extend the 45Z? Is that a necessary piece?
It could be included in a reconciliation package, but it would have to expire within a certain amount of time such that it doesn't have a budgetary effect. That's
really?
Why Tax Cut and Jobs Act has all those expiring provisions.
Okay.
You can't have any money movement outside of a 10-year window. If you do, and your listeners may remember this when we were doing the Inflation Reduction Act, there are things called bird rules, bird challenges. Remember when they attempted to raise minimum wage? That was a policy that had no budgetary effect on the federal deficit. So you can't do it in a reconciliation. So that's the weedy parts of reconciliation.
I guess. John, I feel smarter after every conversation that we have. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Chip.
All right. John Newton, the executive head at Terrain.
Yeah, Davis, it's always a learning experience when we get a chance to talk with John Newton. This reconciliation process, how do you and I always refer to it? It's kicking the can down the road on the budget issues. And that's just kind of That's kind of all I thought it was. But what we're learning now is that it can also be a vehicle to carry some of these tax extenders, some of the policies that farmers are looking for to support biofuels.
Some of the stuff we really need, actually.
Exactly. So we'll see how they handle the budgeting and the appropriations bills as we make our way to the end of the year. But some of this might be handled in a reconciliation as well. All right, thanks to John. We got Lee Blank coming up next.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/no pests.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, December milk down 43 to 1889, January down 49 to 1888, February down 40 to 19 even, March milk down 41 to 1905. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets continue to move mostly higher as there's continued ample trader support, especially in the countryside as well. Also, there is some expectations of a large supply of placements, at least, in the upcoming cattle on feed report. Hogs moving mostly lower. The traders aren't finding enough fundamental support in the hog complex due to the lower pork cutout values to justify moving prices higher. December live cattle up $1.90 to $1.86. November feeder cattle up $2.32 to $2.54.15. December hogs down 87 cents to $79.15. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets relatively flat to slightly lower. Soybeans also moving mostly lower. Corn is lower with the action holding just below recent highs after the strong start to the week, while spread action is flat to softer. Meanwhile, soybeans lower again. The harvest is wrapped up. South American weather is expected to show good progress in development for the soybean crop. Wheat markets higher as the market consolidates due to the events in the Black Sea and a weaker dollar. December corn down 1.25 to 428. January beans down 12.5 to 997.25.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy skies and blustery today. Wind gusts as high as 35 miles per hour. Early afternoon highs in the mid-50s with temps falling into the upper 40s by late afternoon. For tonight, still on the blustery side with clearing skies, lows in the lower 30s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 47.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. join the conversation on AgriTalk, call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Okay, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Laurie. There's been some developments in the Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline that we need to get up to speed on. And just a reminder to everyone, this is the effort, the project that would take CO2 from ethanol facilities across the Midwest, move them up to North Dakota, and where that carbon would be permanently sequestered. And joining us now to talk about the latest developments, Lee Blank, CEO, Summit Carbon Solutions. Lee, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm good, Chip. Thanks so much for having me.
Excellent. Glad that you're here. Now, on Friday, there was an announcement that the North Dakota Public Service Commission, green-lighted the CO2 pipeline? What exactly was the decision?
Yeah, the decision was to give us our routing application, our permit application to build, 325 miles of pipe, really in the state of North Dakota. And, you know, Chip, it's been a long process, as the whole process has been, but North Dakota was a long process as well. There's a lot of stakeholders, a lot of folks that are interested in our project. And so it took some time, but yet it's a very good order. We're very much appreciative of the PSC in North Dakota and the time they took and giving us an order that we can certainly work with. And so just another step in the progress of this particular project, Chip.
Okay, yeah, it is another step. What does it do to the status of the pipeline? How much further ahead does this move you?
Oh, it moves us quite a bit ahead in the sense that it's the main line route to get to our sequestration site in central North Dakota, north central North Dakota. So it's a big piece of the project. I think what else is interesting is, as you well know, we have our first Iowa permit that was granted to us in June. The right. Second Iowa permit has been filed for and is underway here in the state of Iowa. The sequestration permits, we'll have a ruling on them here in the fourth quarter, we hope soon, and then also a ruling on a Minnesota permit here in the fourth quarter as well. So by the end of the year, we should see ourselves in a completely different light as the project continues to hit these real vital milestones as we move forward.
Okay. What's the problem in Iowa? Why are you suing Bremer County?
You know, in Iowa, basically, we're just trying to, keep ourselves on the right side of the law, do what we have the rights to do in the state of Iowa. So on a project of this size, Chip, when it comes down to, setbacks or it comes down to survey access, there tends to be some legal challenges around that. And that's really a symptom of what's happening in Bremer County. Again, around a project of this size, there is some administrative legal work that will always have to be done, and it's just part of the process.
Okay. Is there anything specific happening in the county that that is triggering this case?
We already have what we feel is a ruling around this subject matter, and so again, that ruling is giving us the guidance to go ahead and activate on this case.
Okay, yeah, there were similar cases in Story and Shelby County, correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay, all right. What's the situation in South Dakota today?
Actually, South Dakota today, it's a monumental day for the company as well. We are filing our permit application with the Public Utility Commission in South Dakota today, and so. That starts the process. As you remember, Chip, last September, a year ago, we were denied our permit application in the state. We have worked over the past year working with landowners and stakeholders in South Dakota to find the most acceptable and amenable route through the state, landowner by landowner. And so that has now come to fruition, and that permit application has been built, compiled, and filed as of today.
Okay. Today, you're filing that. All right.
That is correct. That is correct. And then, South Dakota, Chip, they're statutorily, they have a year to make a decision on our permit. They don't have to take a year. But ultimately, so we would anticipate, this process running through 2025 into the third or fourth quarter of next year.
Okay. Lee, wasn't there an issue on the ballot in South Dakota earlier this month? What was that about?
Yeah, so RL21 was a legislation that was put in place in March. It was then challenged. It was put on the ballot in November in South Dakota. Frankly, It was a very good bill. The bill was about landowners' rights and about taxpayer relief in the state of South Dakota. And again, the fact that it didn't pass along with most of the ballot issues in South Dakota this year, it's unfortunate, but ultimately it's the same regulatory environment that we've had in South Dakota previous to it. So it doesn't stop the project in any way, shape, or form. It just was a really good bill to protect landowners. Chip, it took many of the things that are in our easements and in our contracts with the landowner, and it codified it into state law. So it made our easements and our specific covenants in those easements part of the state law of South Dakota. But that particular ballot measure didn't pass.
Okay. So what is your level of optimism in South Dakota? Obviously, you feel that it's worth continuing since you're filing the permit today. But yes, what is your level of optimism?
Yeah, I think the level of optimism is very good in South Dakota. Again, as we see the project come to fruition in every state, again, I think South Dakota also, as we work through the process with the Public Utility Commission, and demonstrate the amount of work that we have put in, the amount of effort we have put in to build an amenable route through the state, I think we'll impress upon the commission and argue our case very well in front of the PUC. So we look forward to that. We believe the odds of success are very, very good. Again, Chip, otherwise, frankly, we wouldn't have filed the permit. So yeah. Ultimately, we have a high level of confidence that South Dakota will be a success story as well.
Okay. All right. There seems to be some grassroots resistance in Nebraska in particular, Lee, and the focus is on the safety of the pipeline. How are you addressing those issues?
You know, Chip, I think I think there's grassroots efforts around the project really since the inception of the project in all of the five states that we're in. Ultimately, I think what people should remember, what the general public should know is that pipelines are the safest way to move commodities in the country. The statistics point to it. It's not something that we make up. It's absolutely true. Moving commodities through the 3.3 million miles of commodity pipe infrastructure in the U.S., it's the safest way to move commodities. So as we think about the 5,300 miles of CO2 pipeline that have already been built and have been in use in the United States since the mid-70s, and the safety record around those particular pipelines, as well as the pipeline industry in general, we feel like this is one of the safest ways to move CO2, and it will be one of the safest pipes built really in the history of the country, just based on the opportunity to have brand new technology, the ability to take a brand new look at the industry and how we actually move it forward with PHMSA regs and regulations.
Okay. How much of the entire, 2,500 mile route, how much of it has been okayed by voluntary easement?
Of the base route, Chip, we had over 75% of the route bought on voluntary easements. As you recall, we've added some additional plants. So those numbers are diluted down a bit into the mid-60s, but ultimately we haven't really started acquiring that right away yet on the new plants that we've added. So we're over 60% today, but again, on the base route, we were over right around 75%, and in North Dakota, we're at close to 85% of voluntary easements and over 90% in the sequestration area that we have acquired.
Okay. All right. So those that you have not acquired, is it safety? Is it cost? What is preventing those landowners from signing on to the project?
Again, I think, frankly, it's a blend of things, Chip. One is I think ultimately there may be some landowners that just don't see the value of the project. I think safety could be a piece of the issue as well. Again, but our intent is to continue to work voluntarily with landowners through the entire process and keep moving that voluntary acquisition number higher. Just because we've acquired the permits doesn't mean that we're going to change our philosophy and how we actually treat the landowner. Part of the reason I believe Summit Carbon, Chip, is going to be a success and is being successful is because we see this as a partnership with agriculture. And again, we're an agricultural company building an infrastructure project. And so ultimately, we see this as a partner with as a partner with U.S. agriculture, and many of the people that we affect are U.S. landowners that are involved in U.S. agriculture. So we see that partnership being an extremely important piece to the success of our company.
Okay. All right, Lee. Got about a minute left, and I've asked you this before, but I it's only fair that I ask it again. Why, in your opinion, is this project so important?
Chip, the agriculture has step changes, and it's a maturation process. And as we've gone through various step changes, the ethanol industry itself being a step change for agriculture, consuming a good chunk, the largest consumptive market of the U.S. corn crop. As we look at U.S. exports today dropping, and we see the demand for ethanol slowly dropping, we have got to find a way to get U.S. agriculture out of that ever closing window of a negative economic environment. And so by opening new markets through lower carbon intensity, whether that be through LCFS or whether that be through sustainable aviation fuel, it's extremely important to take the CI scores down in the ethanol industry, increasing their capability to hit these additional markets, growing their demand for U.S. corn so that we can grow that demand for the U.S. farmer. Ultimately, the sustainable aviation fuel markets, that industry is going to get built, Chip, and we need to build it here. And the only way we build it in the U.S. is if we take that CI score down in the ethanol industry so we have enough feedstock to build out that particular industry. It's extremely important.
Lee, this is an extremely important conversation, and thank you so much for making time for us and having it. I appreciate it. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Chip.
Want to get
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage
and helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead. With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
This Entertainment Insider is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Getting a start in show business is not always easy, but Emmy-winning actor Kieran Culkin got his at a young age.
Neighbors of ours were running like an off-Broadway theater, and they knew that there was this family that had a bunch of kids, and whenever they needed a kid, they were like, you know, we might need a kid for this show. And my parents were more or less like, okay, yeah, what gender, what age? We got a whole bunch.
Progressive offers a great price and round-the-clock protection when bundling home and auto. It's one of those rare times when you could save money and get something great. Bundle today at Progressive.com.
Producers are using genomic testing to build a profitable and sustainable herd. The strategy helps to improve the quality of dairy products and operational productivity without further taxing the environmental resources. Nick Randall leads the U.S. marketing for dairy productivity and milk quality at Zoetis. He joins us right now. Nick, tell us how producers are putting genomic testing innovations to work.
Thanks a lot, Chip. You know, when you look at genomic testing, tests like Clarified Plus that we have here at Zoetis really drive on impacting health, longevity, and wellness all in one available test. And really how we're doing that is through an index we call Dairy Wellness Profit Dollars. And when you look at that one index itself, it truly makes decisions much simpler. If you want to select against disease, you have that ability, like mastitis, lameness, calfhood respiratory disease.
Okay, Nick, so not only have you seen producers put the data and the insights from Clarified Plus to work from a health and productivity standpoint, but producers are also using this information to support their sustainability goals. Tell us how.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we talked about, you know, Clarified Plus gives us some of those different things that we just don't have in other tests. Lameness, for example, is one of those. And the index we've put out there, DWP, it is showing those correlations to not only reducing the disease, but obviously the antibiotic usage, the methane production that those cows exhibit over their lifetime. And applying that genomic data really gives producers that ability to reduce interactions that they have within the environment.
Thanks, Nick. That is Nick Randall. He leads the U.S. marketing for dairy productivity and milk quality at Zoetis. Visit clarifiedplus.com and check out the Clarity at Work podcast to hear customer success stories about building a more efficient, stable herd with Clarified Plus.
Always up early. Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The truth is hard to come by these days. Unless you listen to AgriTalk.
I ain't as good as I once was.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are at Trade Talk at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention down here in Kansas City. Mary Kay Thatcher at Syngenta. Mary Kay, it's good to see you again.
Great to see you. We've worked together a good number of years.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Give me your status update as far as here we are. We're into a transition. I don't know how many people really thought that we were going to see the transition in the administration that we're going to see. What does it do to your thought process going forward?
My thought process is kind of spinning right now. I mean, I am absolutely amazed at how many high-level political appointments that he's done. I mean, I think we're up to 10 or 11 out of the top 25. It's just incredible.
It seems to me like he's done this before and maybe knew what he wanted to get done early on in the process.
Well, and you remember when he came in the first time, his team wasn't as organized.
Right.
And it took him a long time to figure out who to put where. I mean, Secretary of Ag wasn't named until the day before the inauguration on the 20th of January. This time he's way more organized and I think ready to go. And that, you know, his organization and his sending the names through so quickly means the Senate can act more quickly. They can certainly act more quickly than probably happened a few years ago. Now you have a Republican Senate. They're going to want to move those nominations along.
Okay. The timeline of all of this, we've still got to wait until he's inaugurated before we can take these nominations before the Senate, right?
Well, I've been hearing rumors that they might actually have confirmation hearings before he's inaugurated on the 20th, just so that they have the hearings going, and then okay, they'd be more ready to put in place. Now, I don't know enough about requirements of the Senate to do that, but I've heard that from a couple people.
That's interesting. Man, oh man, you want to talk about being able to hit the ground running then on January 20th. That's a sprint into January 20th.
It's an absolute sprint. But, you know, I mean, I think our heads are going to spin on day one, whether that's January 20th or January 21st. I suspect there'll be lots of executive orders that will be massive. And then I think the best bet is that we do this massive tax bill in the first reconciliation bill. So within the first 100 days, we could have an overhaul of lots of tax things like stepped up basis and death taxes, etc., quickly.
I was just going to ask, in the first 100 days, what should farmers be watching for the most?
I think taxes are the big things.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. And I think we really, farmers always do well working together, but we got to get our act together on tax bills. We can't have one ag group over here saying this is the most important tax revision and another one over here, because it's not just an ag tax bill, it's an everybody tax bill.
Right.
So the manufacturers are going to be looking for one thing, and you know, the elderly are going to be looking for something else, and we got to be organized on this. And
right,
we don't have a lot of time.
Okay, where does trade and the tariffs fit into this first 100 days?
Well, I anticipate he will pop on some tariffs, at least on China, very early as an executive order, although I think that there's an interesting viewpoint there, and that is that I think if he does impose tariffs, then he can't one-on-one use it to pay for something. Whereas if he waited for Congress to impose some tariffs, they could take the, quote, savings they get from that, and they could put it towards tax reform or a farm bill or Social Security or whatever. But I think if he does it on his own, it's not a way for Congress to say, we saved this money, now we're going to spend it.
Okay, so if he goes on his own, then it's leverage in a negotiation. If he waits for Congress, then it's revenue generation and maybe offset for some income tax. Is that the right read?
That's my read. And okay. Obviously, if he does it on his own, he can do it a lot faster.
Yep.
And it's more of a sure bet. I mean, I don't know how much pushback Congress will give him on at least some tariffs on China, 60% maybe more than they're liking, but I think there's going to be members of Congress that are really concerned about a 10 or 20% tariff on every country in the world. Yeah. And so, you know, if he wants to do that, he may say, I don't have the patience to wait for Congress, and I don't want to do that negotiation. I just want to do it.
Okay. What do you make of John Thune leading the Senate?
Best news we've had in weeks. I mean, I just think it's wonderful. Agriculture couldn't ask for a better person. I mean, he knows agriculture. He's been on the Ag Committee for 25 years. It's such an ag state. I just think it's we couldn't have done better.
Farm bill, I don't know where this is going to end up. So badly, I want GT to get this done. I want Stabenow to be able to put her name on it. I just don't know if they can get everything all together and get it done before the end of the year. Your thoughts?
I'm with you. I want it done, but I don't think it's going to happen. I just don't see the coordination that probably should have happened in October between the four corners. I think we still have a problem in that GT's bill is still $33 billion underwater. We got to find that. I don't know how that pairs with, you know, passing some kind of economic financial assistance for farmers. I mean, the typical bills that they're talking about is $21 billion in costs. But mostly, I think we got, as of right now, 18 days left that they're going to be in session between now and Christmas. We got to pass those appropriations bills. We will pass the National Defense Authorization Bill. We've passed it every year for 63 years in a row. It is going to happen. And I think we have to pass a weather disaster bill. You know, this. Okay. I think these two hurricanes have thrown that over the top. So you do that. You do the leadership elections. You do the fights over who gets to be committee chairman. I think 18 days are gone.
You think that's enough for 18 days? Is that what I'm hearing?
I think it's plenty, but I think we can accomplish all of those things. I just think Farm Bill is too much. I think it's I can't be done, I don't think.
Yeah. What's your optimism for D.C. and the ability of Congress to maybe work together a little more than what they have over the past? Margins are still slim margins, right?
They're very slim. I mean, nobody can say the gridlock is over. It is not. I hope people aren't at home thinking that. You know, you look at the House, I feel bad for poor Mike Johnson, who's, you know, maybe we're going to have 220 Republicans, 215 Democrats. It's going to be awfully close to that. So if it is 220 to 215, he can lose two members. Well, shoot, Trump's already named four Republicans that are going to be out, and we're going to have whatever, 60 or 90 days to get an election going. I mean, but you can be in a car accident, you can die, you can have the flu. There's lots of reasons two people aren't going to show up on a day. So it's going to be very, very difficult. And certainly I think there's two places where generally you still have a bipartisanship. One is agriculture and one is Veterans Affairs.
Mary Kay Thatcher, Syngenta.
There it was, Davis. You hear that? The gridlock is likely to continue. I guess no surprise there. Boy, big thank you to Mary Kay for spending a little bit of time with us. Thank you for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon, Luke Beckman, Central Valley Ag. Tomorrow morning, Farmer Forum here on AgriTalk.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans have farmers yielding out an additional 2.7 bushels per acre over A-Series. This has everyone talking, not just farmers. Case in point, a trucking company wrote, "Morning, noon, and night, it doesn't matter. I'm hauling Z-Series. The phone doesn't stop ringing. Even my home number, it never stops ringing." Well, it's fair to say Pioneer Brand Z-Series soybeans are making quite an impact. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/newera.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
This holiday at T-Mobile, I'm joined by a special co-anchor.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Snoop, let's talk about T-Mobile.
Okay, cool.
This holiday, get four lines for $25 a line, plus four iPhone 16s with Apple Intelligence and the all-new camera control on us.
Let's get cracking, like a breakfast egg.
You can use those eggs to make some eggnog, Snoop.
Respect.
And people do love T-Mobile, where you can save on every plan for